Kirk and Lake Discoveries is a really exciting early stage exploration project that's had some smoke in their recent drilling. We have the largest land package in Kirkland Lake, 40,000 hectares in the Blake River group of rocks, which is in the Abitibi, and they're some of the most well-endowed rocks in the entire belt. I'll start with Eric Sprott. So Eric is obviously one of the most successful junior slash mining investors ever. And when he was inducted into the Canadian Mining Hall of Fame, one of the people that he listed as his most trusted advisors, this is a list of about seven people, was Denis Laviolette. So Denis Laviolette is our chairman, and he was one of the founders of Newfound Gold, and that's how we brought Newfound Gold into that story. So we have 40,000 hectares. If you were to just go at a dollar amount per hectare in the Abitibi, $100 a hectare is quite normal. And so right there, just off the bat, you're looking at a $40 million market cap just in our land alone. Now, when you combine other pieces of that, a lot of those are patented ground. And so patented ground in Ontario and in the Abitibi basically allows you to build on it without any permits. You can drill on it, you can explore on it. So we have over 30 permits, or sorry, we have over 30 patented pieces of ground that I could erect a mine on if I wanted to. And nobody can really have a say in that because it's already patented ground, which gives me the right to do so. And so there's obviously the environmental restriction or whatever that go along with it. But if you own the ground that way in Ontario, it's a huge, huge, huge advantage.
Good day. Today we have a guest with us from Kirkland Lake Discoveries. We have CEO Stefan Klepowicz. I hope I didn't mispronounce that too much, Stefan.
Close enough. Close enough, Steve.
Well, appreciate the love and forgiveness there. Stefan, I found you guys. Well, my team found you guys. And there's an intriguing project and a company. I wanted to ask you about it. If you can just tell us about yourself a little bit and how you got into this. And then if you want to tell us all about Kirkland.
Certainly, man. Thanks for having me, Steve. I'm happy to be chatting with you. You got a great channel, so looking forward to sharing our story a little bit. So my background's been in business, my entire career. And in 2020, when everything kind of got shut down, and all of a sudden we started printing money at a record rate, I saw the writing on the wall and decided that I wanted to shift into gold and precious metals, but specifically the junior space. I'd been an investor for years, and it was something that I'd always had passion about, and was always excited about the treasure hunt and that whole aspect of finding gold in the ground. And so I had a friend that was working in the industry, and I reached out to him and basically said, I need to get out of what I'm doing. I need to change. I'd love to get into this space. Do you have any ideas? He's like, yeah, sure. Why don't you come work for me? Started at the bottom with him, and ended up working through the ranks, and eventually got into corporate development, and then in turn moved into the CEO role after kind of 5 years in the industry. And so, that's kind of me in a nutshell. That's what brought me into the space. Kirkland Lake Discoveries is a really exciting early stage exploration project that's had some smoke in their recent drilling. We have the largest land package in Kirkland Lake, 40,000 hectares in the Blake River group of rocks, which is in the Abitibi, and they're some of the most well-endowed rocks in the entire belt. And basically what we're trying to find is the next deposit that that people will be able to take advantage of.
Stefan, I'm in the U.S. I'm in New Hampshire. Most of our listeners are North American based, not all, but a lot of them. But I don't know where Kirkland is. I don't know much about Ontario. I do know a bit about the jurisdiction. But if you'd be so kind as to tell us about the jurisdiction itself, how friendly is it? And if you can tell us about Kirkland Lake and maybe some other companies that are there, or what's so exciting about it.
Sure. Yeah. So my home base is just outside of Toronto. It takes me just over 6 hours to drive up to Kirkland Lake. It's directly north. Highways the entire way. There's airports all around, but it's an incredibly well-established jurisdiction. We're not talking remote Northern Ontario. This has been a mining camp for 125 years, basically, at this point in time. And so some of the big names in the area, we have Pan American Silver, we have Agnico, used to be Kirkland Lake Golden, but after their mergers, they became kind of one. In the neighborhood, like those are direct people that are direct majors that are in contact with us. There's Eldorado, there's IM Gold, there's Alamos. It's one of the most busy camps. You know, the Abitibi is where a lot of these big boys are playing. Really well endowed rocks, really good jurisdiction with regards to support from the government and from local First Nations. It's literally one of the best places on earth to be trying to find a mine.
So you guys are, where are you guys in terms of development, discovery? What kind of company are you guys?
We're technically pre-discovery at this point in time. So we're an early stage exploration project. We hit some discovery holes, but they're not necessarily those economic ones. We're still tracing in on it. We did our first drill program into this area around the Winnie Lake Pluton, which is something I'll talk a lot about. But it's on the west side of our 40,000 hectares, and we hit two new gold mineralized showings within what's called a syenite, which is an intrusive rock, which brought in mineralization and fluids with it. And then we also hit a copper, zinc, silver, gold anomaly on the outside of that Pluton. So we have two plays that we're working with currently, but we haven't technically had that big discovery run up. And this program that we're about to start drilling is what we think is going to be that play.
Stefan, for those of us who aren't geologists, what's a Pluton?
So a Pluton, so you think of your granite countertops, okay? You know, those rocks, those are intrusive rocks that if you think of two plates coming together and squishing up kind of lava and magma that go up, that's a Pluton. That's basically what it is. And when those Plutons come up, they basically find any cracks, any spaces in the earth that are weakness or openings, and it will go through those. And so they can go straight up, they can go kind of sideways, basically mm-hmm. find any crack and make space of it. So if you think of squeezing a tube of toothpaste from the center of the earth, that's what's coming up. So those Plutons, those intrusions, those rocks coming into the existing space oftentimes will bring mineralization with it. It will bring copper, gold, silver, zinc, et cetera, or it will bring in a lot of fluids, and those fluids that are deep in the earth will carry mineralization as well, or a pull from the rocks around it. So those are very important in this band of rocks. Mm-hmm. They're closely associated with big deposits.
So Stefan, you mentioned copper, gold, silver, zinc, maybe missing one, but are you guys primarily a gold company? I mean, how do you guys see yourselves?
It's a great question, because up to this point in time, we'd always been a gold exploration company. We did soils back in 2024 and got all of these anomalies that were pointing us in a different direction, where you go, okay, based off this land package, we know that there are VMS potentials, there are intrusion-based potentials. But deep down, I'm a gold bug. That's why I got into the industry, like I said. So, you know, I'm a gold explorer first and foremost. At the same time, if the rocks are going to give us a copper, gold, tellurium, bismuth, cobalt, silver deposit, I'm not going to say, please don't. No. I'm a gold bug. I don't want that. So deep down, I am a gold explorer, but at the same time, I'm going to take opportunities as they present themselves. And this is, you know, when you get an economic grade on a drill hole, you're going to take it. And so we have, you know, again, deep down, I'm a gold bug, but we are exploring for critical minerals through that copper, zinc, silver, et cetera. And so it gives us a little bit of a leg up and a little bit more of an opportunity. If we find gold along with that, I'm going to be thrilled.
So Blake River Group, Ontario Sleeping Giant. What is the Blake River Group exactly? And you know, tell me why that's significant.
So it's basically, there's two cracks in the Southern Abitibi, two massive regional structures. And these cracks go down to the bowels of the earth. There's one at the north side, and that is the Jester Porcupine. And then to the south side is the Larder Lake Cadillac Break. And basically between those, in that area, in between those two big cracks is the Blake River group of rocks. Now in those rocks across the provincial border, so if you think about your state borders, it'd be like going from, I don't know, Maine to New Hampshire type of thing. I think you guys touch, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. It's not necessarily like the rocks change at that border, right? They're going to carry yeah. through. It's just a man-made line. And so that's right. the same thing that we see in the Blake River group of rocks is on the Quebec side. There's all these mines. There's, you know, $160+ billion worth of metals have been extracted from yeah. the rocks there. And then you go to the Ontario side, you hit that line, and absolutely nothing has been found. There's been one mine, and that's the Upper Beaver, which Agnico mm-hmm. holds currently and are putting into production. But other than that, there hasn't been any discoveries. And so we look at this as this massive opportunity that's been overlooked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of the reasons for that is there's less money that's been spent on the Ontario side. You can see the mapping resolution when you look at our deck. There's a 1 to 50,000 on the Quebec side versus a 1 to 250,000. That's like a 1960s TV versus our 4K TVs now, right? Which one are you going to see more on? So, right. you know, the Ontario side has a bit of cover, but with modern techniques, artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. using deep penetrating geophysics, it basically eliminates that, but gives us the advantage that it hasn't been tripped over up to this point in time.
So if you can tell us about, like, do you guys have 100% ownership of this?
And, so the only property that we have outstanding option agreements on is the Winnie Lake specifically. So the agreement that we put in place back in April was $75,000 worth of shares. Okay. And then there's a work requirement attached to it. So I have $1.4 million that I need to spend over the next four years. And once that's completed, we have full ownership. So there's no payments that are required anymore. That's all been done. It's just a matter of work requirement, which realistically we'll have completed in the next year.
So how many sites do you have?
So we usually don't look at it from sites. We have areas that we focus on. We take the whole project and split it into two. And it's KL East, KL West. And then within KL West, we have multiple targets. If we're talking about sites with regards to like shafts and previous workings and things like that, we're in the you know 30 plus of like old mines and things that surface, adits, those types of things. Our primary targets right now are surrounding the Winnie Pluton, and around that Pluton we have currently 9 geophysical targets that have been identified, and they're concurrent with soil anomalies.
So if you can tell me, just kind of help paint the picture for me, how big of a property is this? And then what do you think you have in terms of grade, in terms of what you're finding, the tests you've done, what have you found?
So it's 40,000 hectares. I don't have a good comparison for you. And that's a good question, Steve. I don't know. How big is Central Park?
No, I don't even think in hectares.
So it's 400 kilometers squared, if that's helpful. We're talking, you know, 53 kilometers long. If I were to put that in miles, like 40 miles long, basically, by 15 miles high. It's huge. It's an absolutely massive, massive land package. You know, when we compare that to the size of a mine on the Blake River group on the Quebec side, they're usually about 400, 500 meters wide type of thing, and they just go super deep. And so we have the opportunity, if we were to place a whole bunch of mines across this, you could have 20, 30 mines easily, you know, no question.
So you mentioned the Quebec side, the whole New Hampshire Maine thing was very helpful to illustrate that. That makes a lot of sense. Now, next to you guys, you have Agnico Eagle. They're producing. If you can tell me a little bit about the peers that you guys have in the area, and what might that indicate about what you guys have?
So the majority of the players in the camp are big players. We have El Dorado, we have Stellar Gold, we have Gold Candle, Mag Silver, or Pan American Silver, I should say, because they've been bought out, and then Agnico. And that's basically it. When it comes to other junior companies, nobody has anywhere close to the same land package. Usually it's, you know, 10,000, 5,000 hectares, these small pockets of land. We have 40,000 contiguous claims. And so that means that we have really efficient ways of spending money, and that we can spend a dollar over here and spread it across the entire property. So there's not a lot of other junior exploration companies that are in our position. We have a bigger land package than Agnico in the Kirkland Lake camp. So like, that's how big, we're working with right now. The mines that Agnico has they have two different styles. One is a high grade orogenic mine, that's Macassa. And then they also have the Upper Beaver, which is moving into production. They've already sunk the shaft, and the mill should be operating by 2027, and then full production by 2030, 2031.
So let's shift gears a little bit. I'm looking at your capital structure. If you can tell me just kind of your share structure, how many shares fully diluted, options, warrants written, and then let's go to insiders and institutions. I've noted that you've guys got pretty tight share structure with notable names. I'd love for you to tell me who those are as well.
Certainly. So we have 161 million shares out after our last financing. To put that in perspective, when we raised at 25 cents, our market cap was 45 million. We're trading, 34 cents today, Canadian, which puts us closer to that 60 mark. The only reason I'm stumbling here is because we haven't updated the deck since we did our last options, but it should be about 12 million options, and then 30 million warrants. Of those, majority of them are at 40 cents. Some of them are at 8, but those are held by Rob McEwen and Eric Sprott, who are a pair of our prolific investors. They've come in for a few raises now. We have Earth Labs, which is an investment fund based out of Toronto. We have another commodity fund based out of Singapore. And then we have Crestcat Capital with Quinton Henney. And they came in on our last financing. They were really excited about what we were chasing down. Management, so myself, I came into the story about 2 years ago. This was a long-term established company. It's the only way you get that kind of land package is by holding it and growing it in a bear market. So I've bought every single share that I own in the open market. So I own just over 1% of the company. And like I said, those are all after tax, no gifted shares over here.
So I think I saw that retail was just under 60%. Correct. And then you've got Newfound Gold Corp, Eric Sprout, Earth Labs, Rob McEwen, making up the majority. You also got Crestcat Capital. But let's say I ran into Newfound Gold, or Eric Sprout, and Rob McEwen, and I ran into him and said, hey, what do you guys think? Why'd you invest in these guys? What would they say? Well, what excites you about these guys? What would they say?
So, I'll start with Eric Sprott. So Eric is obviously one of the most successful junior/mining investors ever. And, when he was inducted into the Canadian Mining Hall of Fame, one of the people that he listed as his most trusted advisors, this is a list of about seven people, was Denis Laviolette. So Denis Laviolette is our chairman, and he was one of the founders of Newfound Gold, and that's how we brought Newfound Gold into that story. But if you asked Eric, why are you investing in KLDC? It's because the explorationist Denis Laviolette sees things differently than most people. He'll see bigger trends, he'll look at things and have that understanding. And so that's why Eric is a big believer in our company. He came in initially when Denis came into this company, and then since then, I've basically shown him what we have, and he's continued to maintain that investment and grow that investment. Rob is a fun one because we pitched him the story or before my time, he was pitched the story and said, you know, no thanks, I'm not interested. And last year, around this time, we approached him and basically said, you know, these are the soils that we have. This is a really interesting theory. What do you think? Do you want to support us? And he came in to basically give us the footing to be able to get to the point that we are right now, where we were able to drill and test these theories. And he came in again on this last financing, which is obviously a show of support again. And so the if you were to ask him, we did the good geological science to work this project up to get it to the point that it makes sense. You know, the for 2.5-3 years we were working through, you know, geophysics, soil geochemistry, mapping and sampling, all the stuff that like nobody cares about, nobody. But someone like Ron McEwen will look at it and go, you guys are literally doing every single step properly to move this thing forward systematically the right way. And he saw that and goes, great, I can continue to support this because you're going in the right direction. So just keep going.
So Rob, for him, what changed was what I'm hearing you say is the kind of the credibility in the process and the process that you put in place and stuck to helped them push them over exactly. The edge. Was it also the science, the results, or was it just kind of like seeing, man, these guys know what they're doing?
It was also the results. Yeah. So it's like we took all the steps, and you know, if those steps didn't show anything, I'm positive Rob would say, you know, great work, but I'll pass on this one. And whereas he looked at it and saw the opportunity, he saw that, you know, these coincident soil and geophysical anomalies surrounding this Pluton were too big and too prolific to ignore. You know, and so he saw that there was definitely an opportunity there, that there's going to be a lot more mineralization than what's been found up to this point in time.
Gotcha. Let's go to that. I mean, you mentioned Denis Lavalette. I'm probably brutalizing that name.
Close enough.
I already brutalized yours, Stefan. So if you want to tell me a little bit about your team and like, what did Rob see, or who did he see? Like what makes you guys credible, with the experience you guys have, the expertise, if you can tell me about your team a bit.
Certainly. So, you know, I talked about Denis, the chairman. Denis founded Goldspot Discoveries, which is an AI driven platform for mineral exploration before AI was cool. So this was, you know, back in 2017, before the rush. They actually sold to ALS Geochemics, which is one of the most successful geochemistry labs in the world. They do a lot of other stuff, but I'm just summarizing. And so the team that they had established and the workflows and everything else was sold to ALS. And that was when they pivoted from Goldspot to Earth Labs and became an investment fund primarily based out of Toronto, which is what his passion is that, you know, funding junior exploration. That's where he kind of shifted from exploration into the capital markets. And so basically combined his two passions. But he's had success obviously selling that company. He had great success with Newfound Gold. He worked in capital markets for a long time as an analyst, and so saw hundreds and thousands of projects and basically saw what worked and what doesn't work and can understand, you know, the big picture very quickly. Has good access to capital, good connections, has a great reputation, and so is able to help in these situations. He's a great chairman to have. I have Gary Nassif, who was part of a few different companies, but Sprott Mining, Jarrett Canyon, Trelawney. He basically was a geo that was part of every one of those. And there were some big exits that went along with those companies. Gary's my guy that will look at any of our work that's being done and pull out the most finite details. He's the guy that will cross the T's and dot the I's beyond anybody else. He's a brilliant person that can see, you know, attention to detail. Christine McCarthy is another gifted geoscientist / capital markets person. She had Paycor. It's one of the few companies I've ever heard of where every single investor made money on it, in that they basically went IPO'd and 7 months later ended up selling for basically a triple of the IPO. So it was a very fast, quick return. And then Vincent Dubé-Bourgeois is this brilliant geoscientist, but he specializes in AI. He was one of the founders of GoldSpot as well. Being able to use him to pick his brain on all these processes that we're doing, especially because we are exploring undercover using AI. Again, another great addition to our team on the board. Outside of that, I have two senior geologists. I have Mike Kilborn and Drake Hayden. Those are my grunts. They're the ones that are doing all the work, the targeting, etc. Mike's been a geologist in the camp for the last 50 years almost. So he's seen 200, 300,000 meters of core. So he's seen a lot of the big deposits and the styles of mineralization, whereas Drake's my younger guy that can take that information that we're gathering and put it into LeapFrog and other digital formats, whereas Mike will pull out his pencil crayons and draw me a map if I ask him to. So it's a great combination of the two guys. They truly are a VPX as a pair. They're amazing. And so they kind of handle the workload when we're running a program, etc., but they're great geologists.
Stephen, I'm curious. I know that investors are, one, we don't like risk. We like opportunity. We have FOMO. We want to win big. So if you can mitigate the risk for us, or how are you guys mitigating the risk? And, we also like to see value, whether it's on a certain part of the Lassonde curve or deep value that maybe that you guys see that maybe where you're undervalued. If you can tell us about the value, where is a deep value for Kirkland, and what are the risks that you've guys thought through and are working out?
Okay, you had a lot of questions there, Steve. So if I miss anything, just bring me back. But the biggest missed value that we have is in that land package. So we have 40,000 hectares. If you were to just go at a dollar amount per hectare in the Abitibi, $100 a hectare is quite normal. And so right there, just off the bat, you're looking at a $40 million market cap just in our land alone. Now, when you combine other pieces of that, a lot of those are patented ground. And so patented ground in Ontario and in the Abitibi basically allows you to build on it without any permits. You can drill on it, you can explore on it. So we have over 30 permits, we have over 30 patented pieces of ground that I could erect a mine on if I wanted to. And, nobody can really have a say in that because it's already patented ground, which gives me the right to do so. And so there's obviously environmental restriction or whatever that go along with it. But if you own the ground that way in Ontario, it's a huge, huge, huge advantage. Some of the other things, when we're talking about where we are on the Lassonde curve, we're extremely early still. Like I said, we haven't truly hit that discovery. We've gotten smoke, we've gotten hints, and that de-risks the project in that there's signs of mineralization across our entire property. There's mineralization, high grade gold, copper, silver, zinc, you name it, it's everywhere. It's just a matter of finding where it's pocketed and where there's enough of it for it to be economic. And so we've also done a lot of other work to de-risk through broad scale soil geochemistry, broad geophysics, regional geophysics, mapping, sampling, et cetera. Those things are what de-risk a project. And a lot of times when you're getting an early stage or a low valuation for a company, it's because they haven't done any of that work yet. We've had a re-rating since we were at the bottom because we were doing this work and nobody really cared. Markets were a little bit off, but that's since changed. And with that came, some big developments with our company. I was buying shares at 2.5 cents up through 7 cents very happily because I knew what we had. I knew this was an incredible project. And so that was our very, very, very low. We're now kind of established in that between 30 and 40 cents and floating in that range consistently. And this is our new kind of standard norm. And this is what's going to catapult us to the next level. And so you haven't missed the boat yet, if that's what one of your concerns is. We haven't made that discovery. And, you know, you look at any of the Lassonde charts, any of the other companies that have made a discovery, it's, you know, this hockey stick that's going straight up to the sky. And that's that hasn't happened for us yet. And so with our last financing, we raised $13.5 million, or sorry, 12.7, but we're sitting on 13.5. And that allows us to drill a lot of meters. And I'm a huge believer in putting money into the ground when you're an exploration company, because that's your job, is to find those resources. Yeah. And one of the other values that we have as a company is that we get extremely low drill rates because of where we are. It's not, you know, because there's, you know, special ground or something like that. But what ends up happening is we draw from the entire Abitibi for drill contractors. And so we had 8 people bid on our current drill program. And that makes it competitive, right? So you can basically pull the best service provider and the best cost and combine it. That this is, you know, a very unique situation. And so our summer drill program, where we did 1,700 meters, it ended up costing us $220 a meter Canadian, all in. That's, you know, drill costs, room and board, geologists, assays, everything. Yeah. And so we can run very, very efficient programs because of where we're located. So sometimes people look at, you know, a place like in the Golden Triangle, just as an example, where your drill costs are going to be over $1,000 a meter. So we can do 5 times the amount of drilling that another company could do for the same cost. So that's a huge piece of it. And one of the last ones that I find, you know, exciting and something that really is hidden value for us is that we don't need to find a 5 million ounce deposit for it to be economic. So because of our proximity to existing mines, all we need is something that they can bolt into that. You know, you look at Upper Beaver literally going into production. So they're in the process of sinking the shaft, putting the mill, that they want high grade material at surface if they can, right?
Like, right.
And we hit, you know, copper, gold, silver, zinc at surface in our summer drilling. And so we know that if we can continue to find where the rest of that is you know, find some continuity in that and some continued grade, we already know where that's going for a mine, right? I don't need to build this up. That's not my future plan for this company. It's find as many of those as you can before you're gobbled up, because that's one of those things where we're not going to have that opportunity to get, you know, a 3 million ounce deposit, because we're going to be sold before that point in time, because somebody's going to come in very hungry wanting to bring that into their existing mills. So those kind of summarize all of the reasons we're undervalued at this point.
That's great. Stefan, if you want to tell me about, last question for me I have is, any milestones you guys have, or you know, timelines, plans? I mean, is there any news that you can share that maybe we can, you know, maybe that's not out there yet, or and then how can we follow your news, if you can share your ticker and website?
Certainly, we have lots going on, Steve. The it's been an absolutely insane 4 months, but with this financing closing, we are now getting back to work. So last Monday we announced a 25,000 meter drill program. We're able to drill year round. Some of the areas are actually easier to access, swampier areas, wetter ground. You know, there's lakes all across Northern Ontario. And so there's low lying water, in a lot of places, or low lying ground that has water. And so if we can have frozen ground, it allows us to get much better access. And so we're actually hitting the ground next week. Drill contractors are already signed, ready to go. And we'll be initiating with one drill in 2025 for the remainder. Guys are going to get a little break at Christmas, because if I'm not working, I don't expect them to. So we'll get a week or two off there. And then in the new year, we're hitting it with 2 drills, basically exploring all around this Pluton, where we have some significant anomalies. The thing I was doing before we got on the phone here was, I was looking at all the EM data that came in. So this electromagnetic survey, it's a mobile MT. So basically we fly across the property, and it gives us down to 2 kilometers in depth for conductivity and resistivity. And what we're looking for are these, you know, basically pipes. And what we've been focusing on is the areas where we have anomalies, as well as where we have existing drilling. You can take the targets that have been found there and then apply them to the rest of the area. And so we have some very, very compelling targets, things that are going down to, you know, the full 2 kilometers and are still conductive at that depth. You know, if you have a pipe at the surface that's mineralized and then you have it all the way down to 2 kilometers and it's showing conductivity the entire way, that's something to get excited about. So we're still working through that, that data, and it's going to be, you know, analyzed, inverted, and we're going to have a lot more to show. And we'll definitely share that as it comes out. Like I said, I'm a big believer in transparency. I think it's important that you share that data. We do a video series that's like nothing else in the industry. It's called KLDC Treasure Hunters. And again, this came from my years of investing in junior miners and the number of times where you invest in a story and then you get a news release and you're like, okay, perfect. They're doing, you know, what I thought. And then 6 months later, you get a press release and you're like, what happened in between here? Like, what the hell? Where were the 7 pivots? Like, what is going on? And I had been screwed over so many times where that happened, where I was like, no, on my watch, this isn't happening. People are going to have transfers. So they're going to see exactly what's going on. And so I strap GoPros to the guys when they're in the bush, when they go to check on the core, you know, when they're peeling back moss, you're literally seeing it firsthand, exactly what they're doing and what's going on. And we release these episodes every 2 to 3 weeks, depending on, you know, what's going on. You know, if I'm at a show, you're coming along with me so you can see, you know, what does an investor conference look like? And so it's a way that we can communicate our story without having to put out a news release every, you know, 4 to 6 or whatever, you know, time frame. It allows us to communicate much more frequently with our investors. And the best part is when I'm talking to people now that are invested in the story, they're not asking me what's been going on. You know, they're asking me about, you know, what's the next step based off of the video I just watched, right?
Yeah.
And so it's really fun because like a lot of CEOs, they're scared to pick up their phone, you know, whereas all the times I pick up my phone, I'm having great conversation with happy shareholders. So, so you can expect 25,000 meters starting next week and we're going probably all the way through to July next year, without even getting halfway through our cash. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Stefan, if you want to just give me the Treasure Hunters or website for your company, as well as the ticker, any way for people to find you guys?
Sure. So kirklandlakediscoveries.com is our website. On YouTube, you can either search KLDC Treasure Hunters and you'll find it, or you can put in at Kirkland Lake Discoveries. And then ticker. So we are on the OTC. It's KLKLF. And then primarily traded on the venture, which is KLDC.
Awesome. All right. Full disclosure, Stefan and Kirkland has not paid for this interview. I currently am not an investor, although that may change. Stefan Sklepowicz, thank you so much for your time, for sharing your story.
No problem, Steve. Happy to be here. Thanks.